Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Trina Keane is with me here on Lunchtime Live today because, Trina, you got in touch with us to share your experience of Turner's syndrome and how it inspired you to write a book. You're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Andrea, for having me on. You're very good.
You might just explain, first of all, tell us a little bit about Turner's syndrome.
Yeah, so it's a chromosome abnormality, and it's roughly affects one in every about 2,500 live female births. It was first discovered by Henry Turner in 1938. After, I suppose, kind of a number of women presented at his clinic with similar symptoms.
And how does it, like, how is somebody impacted with it?
So the key things are short stature and infertility, but there's a number of other associated comorbidities, things like cardiac issues. There's things like renal function. There's things like an underactive thyroid gland, hearing issues, and then there's, I suppose, other psychosocial implications like low self-esteem, making and establishing friends, that kind of thing like that. So it's quite a lot, kind of in the one sphere.
Yeah, and obviously something, as you say, that you know that you've lived with throughout your entire life, Trina. How have you found managing that?
Yeah, that's a strange one to answer. I guess I've never really known any difference, you know. I suppose I was very lucky that I was diagnosed so young. I was diagnosed at 4 months old. So I suppose I've always lived with it and never known any different. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has been challenging. I suppose just different milestones through school, through college, through work, friendships, relationships, you know, all of that kind of thing. Yeah, but I've just navigated it. That's really the only way I can answer it.
And I suppose, you know, because when you talk about the number of people born with the condition, like 2,500, I mean, it's like, given the numbers then obviously around the country living with Turner's syndrome, is there a good support network?
There is, yeah. We have a Turner Contact Group Ireland here in Ireland, and that's a support network for girls, families and women living with Turner syndrome, and obviously adult Turner's women as well. So there is a support network in that we generally organise a conference once a year where we get different experts in to speak and things like that. And then I suppose amongst us adult Turner's women, we kind of ourselves, maybe we might organise two or three catch-ups a year or something like that. Or, you know, like we do kind of keep in touch, and the friendships there are lovely as well. So there is support. But I suppose the thing to say is, I suppose we're all working women kind of trying to keep the charity going, you know, on top of full-time jobs and things like that. So that does, I mean, I'll be honest, that does pose a challenge.
That's difficult, yeah.
But but we persevere.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I suppose that's what, you know, kind of inspired you to write the book as well, and we'll come to that in a moment. You mentioned, Trina, that you were diagnosed obviously as a young baby. I see a text in from one listener telling me today that apparently many young girls can often go undiagnosed into latter teenage years.
That's right, and that's very common, would you believe? Yeah, it can be quite common for that to happen. Diagnosis can happen maybe during adolescence, I suppose, kind of when the girl is getting to maybe 14, 15 and puberty isn't happening. And that can often be the, I suppose, the factor that that warrants a lot of further investigation, and subsequently then they end up getting diagnosed with Turner syndrome. And I suppose that's kind of that's why I'm so passionate about raising awareness, so that it doesn't get missed until that age, because I suppose the earlier the intervention, the better the outcome for the person affected by Turner syndrome.
Well, as you said, you know, at the very beginning of all of this, like infertility, I suppose, is one of the, you know, the kind of the main elements of the condition. And that it must be incredibly difficult as a young teenage girl to hear that.
Yeah, it is. It is. Of course. I mean, I suppose to discover that at, say, 14, 15, 16, yeah, that of course, that changes your whole world. You know, I suppose suddenly a life that you planned, I suppose, can no longer happen, or you at least have to go very different ways about it, and just kind of, I suppose, learn to accept that life, which isn't easy at all. Definitely not.
I suppose it has an impact, as you say, Trina, on somebody's entire life. And I'm sure, you know, different mm-hmm. people living with Turner syndrome probably cope and manage that with in different ways.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Everybody responds differently to it. The good news is that we generally tend to be very determined individuals. So I suppose we try not to let it dictate our life either. You know, but yeah, of course. And I suppose coming back to infertility, I suppose depending how the individual feels about that, I suppose when they were told about that aspect, or you'll have some Turner's women that parents mightn't have told them kind of that they have suffered from Turner syndrome, and they kind of end up discovering themselves. And so you've a lot of different ways of dealing with it, and different ways that people find out and that as well.
You've used, and you know, aside from, as you say, the kind of the support group and your own kind of day-to-day living, you've decided to write a book. How were the inspiration for that? Is it more of a sort of an educational resource, Trina, for people?
It's to a point, but really I suppose I wanted it to be my story. And for somebody, I guess where it came from was when I was younger, probably maybe 19 or something like that, I would have loved to have a book like this, I suppose, to look at somebody else suffering from Turner syndrome a bit later in life and see how they got on, or, you know, what their life looked like and that kind of thing. I would have loved, I suppose, a resource like that, you know, somebody else's story. So I suppose that's really why I decided to write this book and share it, was because I kind of wanted to hopefully inspire other girls and women living with Turner syndrome. I suppose that's really where it came from. And it was quite cathartic to write.
Good.
When I sat down and wrote it, and different memories came into my head as I was writing. And yeah, it was a good process. Yeah.
A lot of people over the years have told me that, you know, actually writing a sort of a lived experience has actually been quite therapeutic for them.
Yeah, there is something about that, I guess. Just it's almost like jotting down your memories, and I suppose kind of working through them, kind of, or just as I said, remembering kind of different bits and pieces of a particular time, kind of. And like, for example, I look back at maybe I think I was about 10 years old, and I had just had an MRI, and It was to do with swelling on my optic nerve, and it was quite serious. And I was 10 years old. I was only concerned about a friend's sleepover that weekend. Yeah. That's all that I was concerned about. But I guess that could have been something like a brain tumor, because all they knew really was that there was a mass pressing on the optic nerve. They didn't know what it was. So, like, my mother was with me, and of course she was up to 90, kind of, you know, she was very worried, and here was I, 10 years old, I had no clue. I had no clue how serious it was. So it's amazing to look back at something like that as an adult, kind of, and say, oh my God, you know.
And I know a big part of the publishing the book, and it's through Orla Kelly Publishing, is that right, that you've brought it out? Yeah. You really wanted to try and just kind of, well, I suppose, raise awareness, really, increase awareness around the condition.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Because I suppose it's one of those annoying conditions that's it's not that rare, but at the same time, it's not common enough it's not common enough for everyone to know about, I guess. Like, my dream is to one day have a conversation with people where maybe I say I have Turner syndrome, or just talk about Turner syndrome or something, and the next question isn't, oh, really,
what is that? Yeah.
You know, that's what I would love, I suppose, to happen eventually, just to raise awareness and just to develop an understanding, I suppose, in the general public of the things that the little things that Turner's women live with, I suppose. Yeah.
I know, as you said, the little things, but they're big things as well. And I think you've done a great job today of raising awareness and highlighting that. Like, as you say, it's a lifelong condition, short stature, infertility as well. And, you know, among a number of other health complications at times as well. For people, Trina, that maybe want to read a little bit more about your own story, where can they access the book?
Yeah, so the book is available on Amazon, and it's available worldwide. So it's available on Kindle as a paperback, and I've also done a audio as well. So that's all available on Amazon.
Short but fierce. That's the title, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's great.
That's exactly what we are.
That's brilliant. Well, listen, Trina, fair play to you, and thanks a million for getting in touch with us today to highlight that. That's Trina Keane there with her book Short But Fierce. And if you want to share your own story or experience with us, as always, you can drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk. Conversation that counts.